Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The word innovation might have been a favorite of the Obama administration, but the drive to try new ways of doing things didn't end there. For instance, the Defense Innovation Unit on the West Coast hasn't shut its doors by any means. But there's a danger in all of this innovation when it comes to procurement and treatment of contractors. Joining me with more, Dave Wennergren, Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. Dave, good to have you back.
It's great to be here with you, Tom.
So I understand that you at the council just heard a download from DIUX executives. What are they saying out there about innovation?
Yes, Rod Shaw, the director of the DIUX, came and spoke to PSC members. They're doing a lot of great work. I think that they've really evolved. When the organization was first stood up, it sort of was more an outreach office to connect with companies in Silicon Valley. But now it is actually working more on how do you actually demonstrate the adoption of new technologies? How can you get interesting new payload packages to drones more rapidly, and how can you find more innovative approaches to get that done with speed? And so they made progress from thinking about it to actually doing things, and they've expanded their operations to, I believe, Austin and Boston as well. And you're seeing other efforts like this across government, too. The Department of Homeland Security has an innovation cell and a procurement innovation lab that's also doing good work. So we're encouraged to see people actually taking on this idea about innovation, because in our annual survey of IT leaders, it is always the top priority. But interestingly, in our survey of acquisition leaders for contracting officers, speed and innovation often rank lowest in priorities because it's a different set of things that people are being measured on.
Yes, so when you get to these innovation programs, often a component of it is speedier ability to contract with companies. I guess the danger could be that you would have, as you put it, a two-tier procurement system, one people on the greased skids and the other people still tied up in the old-fashioned red tape.
Yes, Tom, that's exactly right. We're encouraged by anything we can do to reform the acquisition process to make it take less time to get to outcomes. And that's hugely important. As you know, over 80% of the federal IT budget is getting spent to sustain an aging legacy base that precludes easy adoption of digital solutions and exacerbates cybersecurity problems. And so what we've encouraged both the DIUX and the other innovation centers is we have to go mainstream with these procurement reforms. If you can find a way to break down the barriers for a new entrant to come in and do business, we should make that become the norm, not the exception. Otherwise, we run the risk of the vast majority of contractors providing solutions to the government going through a labor-intensive, long-time lead, heavy compliance regime way to do business that adds time and cost, and then a small set of experiments and pilots that, you know, get to go really fast.
And there's been a small step, I guess, in the direction of a little less regulation of contractors with the Congressional Review Act. The bill that was in the House was also passed by the Senate to take away a rule I think professional services companies didn't care for much.
Yes, the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces rule, as is the case oftentimes with good ideas. It sounds like a noble intention to have fair pay and safe workplaces, but the regulation actually created huge compliance burdens for companies and presumed guilt in the absence of any proof. And so at the fundamental heart of it was allegations of labor violations would be treated as, you know, bad actions. And many allegations of labor violations prove not to be true and are just the result of the use of wrong clauses in contracts. And so last summer, the executive branch put the rule out, and then it was enjoined by a federal court in Texas last October, and now through the Congressional Review Act, the House and Senate have both now overturned it. And we think that's a good thing. The Department of Labor has a database on bad violators of labor rules, and we certainly don't want people that violate labor rules to be doing business. But we do want to have it be about people who are doing things wrong, not about people who haven't done things wrong. And so this was a classic data sharing problem that could have been solved through innovative approaches of using data, but instead was addressed by piling more compliance burdens and problems like that on companies.
All right, so we need to speak of that one no more. We're speaking with Dave Wennergren, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at the Professional Services Council. And getting back to the innovation idea, I think there's some innovation welcome, perhaps in some quarters, unwelcome in others, and I use the word innovation in quotes, from the dump by WikiLeaks, which is now as far as we can tell, the details of which are headed to certain tech companies that are interested in keeping encryption really strong. What's the reaction you're hearing from the local services industry with respect to that dump of that CIA material?
Well, it speaks once again to the huge imperative that we have as a nation, not only government agencies, but across the nation, to do a better job with cybersecurity. And whether it's cybersecurity protecting against insider threats or attacks from the outside, we all collectively have to do better. It is a sad and tragic thing when the things that give our intelligence community a competitive advantage, if you will, are broadcast to the world so that people's lives are put in danger, or at least the risk of to the security of our nation is compromised. And so, boy, this is a topic that we really have to spend a lot of time on. There was a presidential commission last year that offered a lot of great recommendations on cybersecurity. There are continuing looks by congressional committees, and we really do need to spend time and attention on this.
We really don't know how these documents got out. It might be a while before we do know. But one thing that struck me, and I was on a panel just last week talking about this very topic, and that is there are people that hoard information, and sometimes hoarders release their information. And there are tools available for an organization like CIA or anybody else that can tell when 8,000 or 7,000, 9,000, whatever it was, documents are being loaded or downloaded somewhere. So you wonder if there's fundamentals that are not just being followed here.
Yes, and of course, as you said, we don't really know the facts of the matter on this one yet. But more broadly, for the benefit of all your listeners, government agencies across the board and companies, I mean, you can't just have perimeter security around the boundaries of your enclave. You have to be focused on security solutions that are proactive and looking at what's going on, both from the standpoint of accidental release of information or purposeful insider threat operations. And so you're absolutely right. There are tools and techniques that we need to take advantage of. I fear that oftentimes our security processes are very reactive and sort of look backwards at 20 years ago we had a problem with passwords, so we wanted to do two-factor authentication, which is good, but that was like a problem from 20 years ago. Reducing internet access points was a problem from 14 years ago. Firewalls and intrusion detection systems are great, but there's so much more that you can do nowadays about the behavior of individuals and their habits and how they're using the network that could give you more insights into what's going on or what's leaving your organization.
And on a happier digital innovation front, the idea of digital services, it looks like there's some support for that organization. It's had some trouble, the 18F group and GSA, some bad reports. But I don't think anyone, even in the Trump administration, is fundamentally opposed to the idea of digital innovation.
Yes, I think that you're absolutely right. I think digital services or digital solutions is hugely important. If you listen to any tech leader like a John Chambers, they're out there talking about that the U.S. is falling behind in digitization efforts, and there's power to be done here. I think the jury's still out on to how to organize to do that. Digital services teams at federal agencies have done good work, but as I see it, there are sort of two challenges that we have to focus on. The first one is sometimes we have a habit through organizations like an 18F to want to do the work ourselves. And so we'll design the website ourselves, which is fine to demonstrate the art of the possible, but it is no way that you will be able to handle the things that cover the major programs of the $80 billion federal IT budget through a small cadre of in-house developers. And so we have to focus more on creating a savvy cadre of digital buyers that can go out and get the work from the private sector in an innovative approach like we talked about a few minutes ago. And the second challenge is that timing matters, and you can't parachute in at the end of a procurement process and say, oh, I wish we had done everything differently. You have to get in on the front end, find the tailored approach that uses approaches like statements of objectives and valuing alternative proposals and doing performance-based contracting and all the way that you can actually get the innovation that you seek.
Dave Wennergren is Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at the Professional Services Council. As always, appreciate your insight.
It was great talking with you, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. 55 past the hour, this is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter, our handle's @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.